Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2016, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday. I'm wishing you a bright, sunshiny day. I pray all is well, and if it's not, well, you know, it can get better. I pray it gets better and better. It can, and it will. Just try to stay optimistic and hopeful, you know. One of my favorite sayings, and I have a few faves, but this one, things work out best when you make the best of how things work out, is a framework for life's haps and mishaps. You can stare at stuff and scratch your head and wonderment if you want to, or you can say, how do I make the best of this? What do I do? What do I learn? What lesson can I live out from this now? What kind of bridge is this to a better place? Where is the gold nugget in this rocky, dark place? Yes, you can ask those questions and probably a whole lot more if you're paying attention to life. Questions and answers are being thrown our way all the time. Yes, they are. But that one saying, I'll tell you, it is a foundational answer piece for me when a lot of stuff is going on. Yeah, so try it. You might like it. Well, my special guest today has some insights and maybe some answers to one of life's most popular topics, the topic of parenting, particularly motherhood. She's written a new book full of wit and wisdom and humor. It's titled From Conception to Confusion, where she shares her personal stories of the glories of mothering two sons. She's also a blog author as well and a popular radio DJ, and she seems to be doing it all with the greatest of ease. So what else could we call her but Smooth Mommy DJ? Welcome, Julie Davidson.
Oh, Silver, thank you. It's an honor. It truly is. You make me sound good.
Well, you know what? I didn't have to make anything up. It's all true.
Oh, thank
you. It's all wonderfully
true. Yeah, if you saw my house, you might think otherwise, but that's okay. It's a no-judge zone. I get it. But no, Silver, it's wonderful to be on part of your show and share with your audience.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for taking the time. I know you've got a busy life as a wife and a mom and a career going on, and we're going to talk about all that as we move through the conversation today. So, again, thank you. Well, you know, you've got a lot going on. When I saw the information about your new book, there was no doubt I wanted to have you on to talk about that. But you had Life Before Book, and so let's talk about some of the things that you have done over the years, because our relationship certainly spans a lot of years. But I know you've been in broadcasting, one of my inspirations, for many years. Tell us about that, where you are with that, and how that all got started, because you've been around for a while now.
I've done so many different things. You know, you go to college and you think, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I thought I would take Oprah's place, but little did I realize she was pretty secure. So that didn't really pan out. But I was working with home buyers, low and middle income homeowners who wanted to, or people who wanted to buy houses. And I loved that work. It was nonprofit. It was empowering. We got defunded. So I thought, well, what can I do where I can make some really good money and I'd really enjoy it? So I thought, voice work. I'll be a voice behind a commercial. So I made a lot of phone calls, and someone finally said, you know what? You got to call your favorite radio station and ask them. And so I did. It was Smooth Jazz, 93.3. And I called them and they said, well, you kind of have it wrong. 80% of the work in these national advertisements and voiceover work is done by 20% of the people. However, your voice sounds just good enough that maybe you should come in and do a demo. And I said, wow, that's fantastic. And they said, yeah, we have a slot that pays $7 an hour from 10 at night till 2 in the morning. So I thought, well, that's
wow, I can't wait.
Dreamy. Sign me up. But, you know, Silver, it's the things that you do that seem appealing or maybe less frightening when you don't have a husband, you don't have children. You know, I don't even remember if I had a dog at that time. So I went in and I did a demo, and a couple of weeks later, they hired me. And sure enough, $7 an hour from Saturday nights from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. But it was Smooth Jazz, which is a huge, huge, huge love of mine. And within a few months, I was filling in for the evening jock and then for the midday. And I believe within 3-4 months, I was hired full time to do an evening show. It's kind of like a love show, so to speak. It was Smooth Jazz after hours. That was my thing. So I did that for a number of years, and I'm still in radio. It's one of those things, as you know, when you broadcast, it just, you can't get it out of you. It still calls me. So until about a year and a half ago, I was doing middays at the same station, and I wanted to try some other things. And so I also have my real estate license. And so I do still go and do a couple of shows, weekend shows for the radio station, but I also have my real estate license and I blog and I've written this book and I'm talking to you. So lots of stuff going on, but that's what happens when, I don't know if I like the word creative, but when you have that urge to be creative and to connect to people and you're passionate about it, I don't think you should give it up. So,
absolutely
that's
not.
Right. Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
with what
but yeah,
you're
you
doing.
Go,
what, yeah, you and I go back quite a ways back. But yeah, you.
I can't
you,
do the math.
we don't want to. It's been a long time. Let's just leave it there.
Right.
But anyway, I know that your broadcasting career has merited you some very exciting recognition too. You've gotten awards and all of that. Tell us about some of those things.
Yes, and if any of them happen to be missing from that particular radio station, I did not take them off that wall. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association does give out awards throughout the state in different markets. And I believe I have like 4 or 5 different awards for my show, where I'm interacting with listeners. You submit some of your best work. Of course, you know, that's the only work you'd want to submit. But those are the fun times when you're connecting with those listeners. Sometimes it's humor. Sometimes it's a little more touching. I remember, one particular call that I got was from a woman. I did a lunchtime. It could be a dedication, but it was a song request. And her son wasn't going to be home for the holidays. And I mean, I'm getting like emotional just remembering the phone call. And I just thought, oh, she's got to go on the air. And she just said, I miss him and I want him to know we're thinking of him. And so I played a song for her and said, thank you for sharing your story and please tell your son thank you for our service. So those are the types of things that, you know, grab people's emotions and connectivity that we would submit for those type of awards. And I do have a few of those, not necessarily in my house, but I did get some of those awards. So that was always fun.
Well,
I mean, you do what you do in radio. Thank you. We do what we do in radio because we like it, but it is kind of fun to go up against your peers at other radio stations and submit and say, you know, I'm good at this. Because quite frankly, and this is not a slam on the industry, it is what it is. No one said join this and you're going to make a lot of money. We do what we do for the love because we're not necessarily getting wealthy off of it. So when you do get that type of recognition from the top in the industry, it makes you feel good. And to see your name, it says, hey, I'm good at this. We should be able to tell ourselves that, right? We should. But some days are harder than others. And so I like to have a plaque that has my name and says, you did a good job. you know, you did.
Well, so, I'll tell you what, you are still doing a good job, and the way the doors have opened for you, I hope, and, you know, I'm hoping we see a Smooth Mommy DJ show coming down the pipe somewhere, so who knows?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Now you're talking my language. You're talking my language. I think the possibilities are endless. I have a friend who's a life coach, and she said to me one day, it was as if she could see right through me. And I think you're very good. You're very astute with people and really kind of seeing where they are at, maybe where they want to go. And she just looked at me and she said, "What's your dream?" And I kind of, you know, looked away nervously. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, "You know the dream I'm talking about, the one that you don't want to say out loud for fear that other people will laugh at you or that you'll fail." Those were not her exact words, but that's exactly what she meant. And that just stays with me. And if people listening to your program, this program and other programs of yours, beyond today, get nothing else, follow your passion. Just, I know that sounds so simplistic, but so what? You fail.
Yeah.
But you try.
Yeah.
You, I mean, you probably fail at other things. And guess what? You're still living. You know? And to me, I think fear is what stops a lot of us. But when she said that, I thought, you know, where do we get programmed that we have to do certain things and we're limited? I don't know, you know, move over and get out of your own way. That should be a T-shirt that I wear and look at every day.
Well, believe
anyway.
Me, we're going to stay tuned. We're going to stay tuned.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Can you tell us what inspired you to start blogging about your kids?
Because alcoholism is not good. It's not good depending on who you talk to, but why I started blogging. I think, you know, it is, I don't bake. I don't bake. I don't like to garden. But I do think everybody has a gift. I think I can put a few words together and make it relatable and provide comfort and provide relief. But I don't remember the actual moment. Oh, I tell you what it is. Every year I send out one of those annoying Christmas cards. Okay. But they were funny. At least I thought they were. And so I would kind of talk about what the kids were doing and, you know, Cheerios in the van and fingerprints on the wall, you know, all of that stuff. And people really enjoyed that. To me, it was a way to stay connected with everybody that I didn't see, but I thought really needed to know we were alive and doing fairly well, or at least head above water. And especially a lot of our older relatives who are not savvy and really have no desire to be online. And so, I started doing these annual sit down, mom's taking your picture. And then I would write, it was, you know, full page letter about what's happening. And I would try and infuse, I wish I had them in front of me. I mean, one year I talked about the fact that diapers, disposable diapers, actually do get clean if you put them in the washing machine. They'll get poofy, but you can clean them. I mean, just the madness, just the madness of life. And some people maybe related and some people didn't, but we got a lot of compliments and comments about that. And people would say, you know, you should blog. I'm like, what's blogging? You know, what is this blog you speak of? And so I just started doing that. And it's kind of like, you know, like a broadcaster. So you meet people who blog and then you meet more people and you kind of feed off of them. So I started doing it for Metro Parent magazine. And from there, are you still with me?
Yes, I am. You said from there.
Oh, sorry. And from there, I was doing some freelance writing. And I had to do an interview with a doctor who said, you know, you're really funny. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And she said, maybe I could get you in touch with my partner. She's a business partner, and they have written books. It's a series, Mommy MD Guide. And I said, that would be great. And I started writing some blogs for them. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And at one point they said, you know, maybe you should write a book. And that just kind of knocked my socks off, you know, like it's almost beyond dreams. It's almost, it felt like that was too big, like I wasn't worthy. And I'm still working on that, to know that I am worthy. We are all worthy, but I think somewhere along the line, we're told that if it's too lofty of a goal or a dream, then no, it can't be. Did I answer your question?
Well, you made it happen.
Yes, thank you.
You made it happen. I'm curious to know how you came up with that title, From Conception to Confusion.
You think it's easy just to have a baby, just to make a baby, and it's not. I thought, you put on some lingerie, dim the lights, but it's not always that simple. And just science of getting and becoming pregnant was a big deal. And I will share this because I think it's important. One thing I like to do, I'll put myself out there if I think it's going to help other people. We had a miscarriage, and I was devastated. But once I spoke about that, people came out of the woodwork. I had one too. How was it for you? How did you deal with it? All of these things. So I guess I start with conception because there's a lot to it. I mean, there can be. And I remember at one point, this is in the book, my husband said, I can't have sex anymore. He's like, you're wearing me out. because I would tell him,
we're
going to
make this baby.
Exactly. And I know that sounds a little robotic and mechanical, but we were on a mission. I wasn't real young when I started having children. So we were on a mission. So that's why I started with the word conception, because you think you know how it's going to be just with anything in life. And then, oh, I get it. My body is going to be a little weird, or, oh, I have to do this. But the beauty is, beside that miscarriage, we now have two beautiful boys born back to back who are about 16 and a half months apart. So, and then the reason I say to confusion, once again, you think, well, I know how this is going to go. I'm college educated. I've got a husband. I've got people around to tell me, you don't know how it's going to go. You're not even in control of half of this stuff. You really don't. And then life kind of unfolds. Are you going to have financial problems? Is one person literally going to freak out and say, I can't do this? Are you going to have a relative live with you? Are you going to have to move? So it's kind of like, all right, we got conception done with. We're pregnant. Oh, wow, I'm still confused. And that's kind of me really laughing at myself, because I find myself daily like, what? What? How does this work? So that's how I came up with the title. I think the second book could easily be called I'm Still Confused,
Hold on to that.
But we're right. But, I don't know that there's anything wrong with being confused, because going into having kids, I didn't want anyone to tell me anything, because I knew how this, I babysat. I had nieces and nephews. It's not the same people.
Well, you know what? You have a gift of making all of those situations sound very clever and very funny, and I think that's so commendable, and I think people are going to love following you, those that didn't know about you, love following you and reading your book. I know I certainly have enjoyed the short stories that I have read, and I asked you particularly to share one that I thought was really funny.
I think I know the one you were talking about.
Yeah. You had the experience of having your little guy, when he was small, having to go to the potty with you. And he had a very interesting discovery.
Those days. I mean, I honestly just want a house with two bathrooms. bathroom forever. But you know, when they're little, there's creepy people, but you can't just send a kid in the bathroom by themselves, and you can't just say, hey, kid, wait out here while mom goes in. And then, you're in the stall, and they're crawling around, freaking people out on the other side of the stall, and you're apologizing, and, they're crawling around touching stuff, and we know that bathrooms are really, really clean, wink, wink. And so I think this is the one. There were several, but I could just hear the echo coming from the stall, and he was, oh gosh, first of all, you squat when you're in a public toilet. Sorry if that's too much information, but then he would walk around to the back of the toilet. And one day he said, well, you're peeing out of your butt? Mom, are you peeing out of your butt? And I could just hear other people going, tell him, Mom, does he pee out of, are you peeing out of your butt, Mom? Are you some wonder? Yeah, fine, Mom, fine. That's where I pee out of. I mean, I just, you know, but it's very organic. He had a question. I don't exactly remember how I answered it, but that's what he saw from his vantage point. We have worked through the biological discussion, and now at 13, he gets that I don't pee out of my butt. And no longer does he
telling me that he asked you where was your little equipment that you were supposed to be using.
Because I had it wrong. I had it wrong because my equipment was not the same as his. But I tell you what, you know, kids are curious, and we're adults, and we're looking at it from an adult lens. But the good news is about that particular son, my oldest Miles, always been curious. Always curious. Whereas me, I just want someone to do it for me. He wants to do it. He wants to know how it works. And I am so grateful because, honestly, if I don't sell enough books, this kid is going to be taking care of me as an engineer. I mean, seriously. I have no shame in that. He was born on Friday the 13th. Are you kidding? They cut me open. Yes, he owes me. No, Silver, you know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. I know
how much you love them.
I mean, the hilarity, and you knew me when I was single and not even thinking about this, but just the daily things that happen. And I'm not here to say that, you know, oh, miscarriage is funny or, you know, a sick kid is funny. I don't. But I do think when you can back up from those situations and you see that you've survived and got to the other side, there is some element of humor or comfort knowing that, one, you're not alone, and two, even when you're going through bad stuff, life keeps going. Even when you don't want it to, you want to say, hey, you know, look what's going on with me, but life just keeps going. And I think it's good that it does. Otherwise, I think we'd lay down and die. Seriously, I just think we would. So that's a huge reason that I write, is to give comfort to other people and for my sanity, because that's an outlet. And sometimes when I, you know, you write it down or you speak about it and you think, oh, I survived. I wasn't struck by lightning. You know, nobody became ill over this, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
A lot of it you have to put in perspective, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know you have lots of funny stories. Do you have a favorite of your own about your boys?
Boy. About my boys. I have so many. I
know you do. I know you do. Get the book, right?
get the book. I do remember, this is probably inappropriate, but while we're speaking about bottoms, I do remember seeing one of them. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog, like, chase their tail.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why dogs chase their tail, except that, hey, I've got a tail. I can, you know, run around circles. I remember when my oldest was, oh, my gosh. I don't know. He must have been a year and a half, maybe two. And he discovered that he had a rear end. And he kept going. It was just like what the dog would do downstairs in the dining room, round and round. And it was like he kept thinking if he could just twist enough, he could see that back hole in his butt. And then he discovered that he had a brother. And I remember he was like, Mom, he's got one too. Yeah, you're lucky. You got good genetics. Good genetics, kid. We all got them. We all got them. But, I mean, there's just story upon story. I mean, even now, but I won't share now because they're not too far from me. And they are, you know, in middle school. And the stories change a little bit from when they're babies, you know, to now.
How do they feel
about
being exposed in a book, Julie?
They don't really know.
Not yet.
I mean, they do know. I think, well, Mom blogs all the time and whatever. She's Mom and she's an old person. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, you're not cool, Mom, because you're dance moves. I mean, they talk about that they have swag and they have dance moves. And I apparently have none of that. So when I tell them that I'm writing, I think they kind of blow it off as like, whatever. I mean, they're not that dismissive, rude, you know, to me, but they don't seem to mind. I mean, they more mind if I put, you know, maybe a picture on Facebook when they don't feel like it. Like, the going back to school pictures are going to be excruciating this year. Excruciating. But I've been known to pay my kids to do stuff or to be quiet or to do certain things that I need them to do. But I think if I can show them that this book is not meant to make them ever look bad, it's really more about me, my inefficiencies, or maybe my, you know, moments of self-esteem being wounded, but yet rising back up from that, I think that will be fine. That, you know, moms and dads, parents, we go through these things, but we get through them too. So they're not impressed at this point, but I do mention their name in the beginning of the book, so I think that might win them over. So yeah. Plus, if we sell enough, we get to go to Disney again. So, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That's great. I'm really excited about it. I've just got one more question, and it's going to be time for us to wrap. But I just want to say, congratulations to you for all that you have embraced, and I just truly wish you so much success. I really see it going to places that you probably haven't wrapped your mind around yet. You're just a beautiful personality. You've got this incredible sense of humor and this way of telling stories that I think is going to be a highlight for so many people who are raising kids, because I know you have your difficulties like anybody else, but to put a spin on it and make so much of it so entertaining and so humorous, I think will help a lot of people, especially in the times we're living in right now. So I wish you just the best of success. Julie, well, how do you feel about everything you're doing now? What would you say to moms about the balancing act? I don't know if you've seen the movie Bad Moms. I did see it recently, and it's something else. But how do you feel about balancing life and family and children and husband?
Well, today I feel one way, and Friday I might feel a different way. I have not seen the movie. I'm super excited. I hear that it's almost a cult following and that women are walking into theaters with bottles of wine. I'm not saying anybody should do that, but
viewers,
you know,
beware.
Exactly. That is not legal or suggested. No, drink before you go. I'm kidding. People talk about, can you have it all? I say, who wants it all? Seriously, who wants it all? Yeah, you can have it all, but you can also get very, very sick from having that all. So I think at different times you have different parts of you that are doing well and other parts that aren't. I don't know that there's a magic to balancing it. I think you do need a good support system. I think you either need a good spouse or, you know, a strong partner. And I do have that. I mean, I'm now at the point where my kids, dad's the fun one. You know what I'm saying? So he's the fun one. But regardless of what else is going on, because every day something new happens, you have to somehow find that space for you, or find something that gives you some joy. Some people it's running, other people it's yoga, other people it's prayer time, self-reflection or meditation. And trust me, I can say this, I'm blue in the face, and I still struggle on a daily basis with not making sure, because I think we feel guilty. Well, the kids won't get this, or they'll be irrevocably harmed if I don't do that. No, they're going to be just fine. And if not, they can find a good shrink to undo the damage that you've done. But it is imperative that you find some type of inner peace. I know a lot of people within the last couple of years who have suffered from postpartum depression, and just now seeing more groups that are reaching out to people and other moms. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And just other moms. I mean, when you get together with people, you start realizing that, wow, not just me, you know, we're taking care of you.
That's
which,
great advice. Great advice. And again, I want to thank you. Is there a contact email that people can reach you? Can you say that quickly? We've got 1 minute.
Sure. Yes. It is reese98@gmail.com. So R is in ridiculous, double E, S is in Sam, E98@gmail.com.
I'll make sure I include it on my info after we get off the show here. So again, thank you, Julie. You be blessed. Have a great day.
Awesome.
I look forward to talking to you real soon. Great to have
thank you
on.
Thank you, Silver. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for what you do. Okay.
Thank you. And thank all of you for tuning in today. I appreciate you being on board. Tell your friends about Foxology Today. I'm here most Mondays, and we'll always have something good, motivational, and inspiring for you to hear. In the meantime, I am going to bid you a great day. Be good. Be blessed. Be awesome.